but I'll go ahead and start telling you. So we'd like to tell you about how a group in our community, the Health Equity Alliance, has started important conversations about health that have led to both small and large successes. We also plan to leave enough time at the end of the presentation to harness the power and the wisdom of this group here to share your ideas and your experiences with engaging communities in addressing barriers to health equity. I suspect that many of you in your community are doing similar and exciting things. Charlie will join me at the end for that part of the presentation. I also wanted to point out that there are handouts in the back if anyone is interested. So let me tell you a little bit more about the Health Equity Alliance. We're located in Benton County in Oregon, in the Willamette Valley, which is situated between Portland and Eugene. The mission statement of our organization is that the Health Equity Alliance is dedicated to reducing health inequality and promoting healthy communities by facilitating public discussions and mobilizing local resources. But really, the important part of the group is the why and the who of the group. The why of the group is that we've really felt a need in our community to address health equity as a concept. It's something that's really resonated among people in our community. But the most essential part of what makes this group unique and interesting is the people and the organizations involved in the group, the who. We have a diverse and growing membership of more than 50 people throughout our community. We have the usual suspects from the health department and the Oregon State University Department of Public Health and healthcare providers. We'd expect to find those people there. But what's unique about this project is that we've been able to attract a diverse cross-section of community partners who might not usually be at the table when discussing health. People involved in multicultural literacy, housing, community outreach, domestic violence, members of the faith community, and rural advocacy. And what unites this group is that we all share a common belief that health starts long before people are sick, that it starts in our homes, in our schools, in our communities. And we also believe that together we can help make sure that everyone in our community has equal access to health. Our group had some pretty humble beginnings. We were a ragtag group at the beginning. In the spring of 2008, when we heard that the Unnatural Causes series was coming out, you know, at this point you could really only view clips of the series. But in viewing those little bits and clips of the series, we could tell that it contained information that really was going to be interesting in our community, and it was going to help us articulate some ideas that we'd been trying to get across and trying to have conversations about. So we planned an event, we recruited some community leaders, we were able to get the mayor of Corvallis to speak, we rented a space and threw up some flyers, and lo and behold, about 120 people showed up, and in our town of 50,000, that's a great crowd. We watched the initial episode of Unnatural Causes and in Sickness and in Wealth, and I'm sure many of you have seen that. It's a really powerful episode. And it sparked some great discussions, and there was great energy in the room. So later, when we debriefed that event, we realized that we had identified a true need for addressing health equity in our community, and we weren't ready to stop there. So we applied for a small grant from Northwest Health Foundation and Community Health Priorities, and I saw our program officer, David, come in the room. You can say hi back there. Thank you, David. And they were generous enough not only to provide us funding, but to provide us support along the way, and that's continued. So from our humble beginnings of that initial event in the spring of 2008, we think that we've been able to accomplish some pretty substantial things, and we group those into these areas. We've been able to spark conversations, we've been able to generate action, and we've forged partnerships. In sparking conversation, one of the main things that we did was with the funding we got from Northwest Health Foundation and Community Health Priorities, we planned and executed two community events using Unnatural Causes as the conversation starter. Using a community cafe format that's very engaging, we addressed barriers to health equity in very specific areas of interest in our local communities. Areas like food access and availability, affordable housing, transportation and access to goods and services, green spaces and recreational opportunities, and education. And in those forums, participants identified assets and gaps in those key areas. And that was what we'd planned, and that would have been great. But what was really exciting to us is that people didn't want to stop there with just identifying the assets and gaps. They immediately jumped to the next step, which was brainstorming ideas and potential actions. And that's the really exciting part. We've been able to spark conversations kind of in a more multimedia way. We're fortunate that one of our group's members is interested in creating podcasts. So she took the two forums that we created and did additional interviews with group members, and she's put a series of podcasts that are now available through iTunes on the Oregon State University website. She's also put them on local access TV, which again, in a small community like ours, is kind of big time. So we're excited that the word about what we do and our work is getting out in multiple forms. We've participated in a number of film series and lectures and co-sponsored events. It always feels good when people say, hey, will Health Equity Alliance co-sponsor this event? And that's one of the important things to us, is to be able to form together with other groups to put on events and bring speakers to town and create new conversations about health. A great example of that is one of our group members is a medical anthropologist and a professor at Oregon State University. She's very active, obviously, in the birth movement, and there's a group in town called the Heart of the Valley Birth Network. They did a large film series a year ago, and one of the films that they wanted to show, in which Health Equity Alliance co-sponsored an event, was When the Bow Breaks, which is another one of the episodes of Unnatural Causes that addresses inequalities in birth outcomes. Now, the conversations that were started from viewing that led to conversations about inequalities in our community, which are very different from ones that are shown in the film, but it was a great conversation starter. And in continuing those conversations, local stakeholders got together and have decided that there really are some needs in our community to address maternal child health issues in the Latino community. And so now they've applied for and received a grant that will specifically train Latina doulas to serve the Latina women in our community, and we find that really exciting. And of course, the group meetings that we have continue the conversations about health and health equity. It's always satisfying when talk leads to action. Missy's group that was able to get the doula program started is a great example. Another is that when we did our two community forums, we did one in Corvallis. Corvallis is the bigger town in our county. It's got 50,000 people. And to get some diversity and difference, we also did a forum in Monroe. Now, Monroe is a small town in the southern part of our county. It only has 600 people in the town. It doesn't have a grocery store, just some convenience stores. It has a county health clinic that's open a few days a week, but obviously no specialists. And so in thinking back to those areas that I described before, green spaces, access to food, all of those things, one area that really resonated as a challenge and a barrier to health equity in that community was access to transportation. People just simply felt that being 15 to 20 minutes away from the neighboring communities didn't allow them to do the things that would make them healthier. It didn't allow them to go to a Safeway where they might get fruits and vegetables. It didn't allow them easy access to specialists at health clinics. It didn't allow them the recreational opportunities that they wanted. So out of the forum that we had in Monroe, community members continued to meet together, and they took those conversations to county representatives who were in charge of transportation. And actually, earlier this month, just a few days ago, bus service started between Monroe and Junction City and Corvallis, which are the two neighboring towns. And so we're really excited to see that action come out of that. Health Equity Alliance continues to help us forge partnerships in our community and helps others in our group forge those partnerships. Because of partnerships with parks and recreation, housing, and food groups that started with Health Equity Alliance, the Benton County Health Department was able to secure a $360,000 Robert Wood Johnson Foundation Healthy Kids, Healthy Communities Childhood Obesity Program grant that helps to address access to healthy food and physical activity in underserved and rural parts of the county. And the picture up here is a group of some of the children who are involved in the program in our community. The partnerships also allow us to share information and expertise. One of our organization partners, Strengthening Rural Families, is a group that deals with rural issues in our community. It's a largely rural community. And they decided that they wanted to formulate a rural health plan. And they didn't really know where to start. And when they wanted to brainstorm ideas and help, what they did is they asked, could we get together a group of people from the Health Equity Alliance and help brainstorm those ideas? And so that was what we did. And we had a meeting, and people gave their ideas, and they were able then to turn those ideas into an action plan that worked for them. We've been able to foster ongoing network idea sharing, both in our meetings when we're together as a group and offline. It's been able, that networking has really allowed people connections in our community that didn't exist before. But one of the most valuable outcomes that we've found in the work that we've been doing is that we've been able to widen the circle of engagement in and understanding of public health. Jim Moorfield, who's the executive director of Willamette Neighborhood Housing Services, which provides affordable housing in our area, credits the Health Equity Alliance with helping him, as a non-public health person, learn about public health concepts and incorporate them into his everyday work. Jim and other people like him who are involved in our group and have learned more about health equity then bring the voice of health equity into multiple arenas, into their work. And they go out into our community and they speak the health equity language, and they're really able to impact policy in substantial ways. When we think back on our journey from humble beginnings to substantial accomplishments, we've been able to identify some strategies that have worked for us. And I'm wondering if those might resonate with other people here in the audience. We found that showing films, especially Unnatural Causes, which talks about health equity in a way that people can relate to, it gives people something to respond to, and it helps to make abstract issues more tangible. Having interactive, engaging events using the community cafe format that we've used that invites people to participate has helped bring people into the conversation rather than having them just sit idly and quietly on the side. Serving food has helped bring people to the large events that we've done and even to our quarterly meetings. When I was getting my master's in public health, some wise professor, it might have been Charlie over here, said that the four most important words in public health are refreshments will be served. And we have found that to be true. Using the social justice fairness framework in discussing health equity certainly widens the appeal of our group and our message to people and invites people to participate. When I talked about the group earlier, I mentioned that the who is the most important part of the group. So investing in those relationships, the people and the organizations that are part of the group, has really helped, I think, people feel welcome and important in the group. And that's something that takes time to do, to individually call and email those people and say, hey, we're meeting. Are you going to be there? Or I'm working on this. What do you think about it? Being very active in investing in those relationships has benefited us and benefited our group. Helping our members has been a strategy that has worked well. Using the collective wisdom to help with technical support and ideas, like I mentioned before, with strengthening rural families, co-sponsoring events, writing letters of support when our member organizations apply for grants, partnering for grants and programs have all helped us to find strength in numbers. For the short time that we had dedicated staffing, we were able to accomplish all of those things much more easily than when people are trying to do it in those spare moments in the evening by email or snatching a few minutes during the day at work to work on them. Of course, our experience hasn't been without challenges. Things like lack of staffing, the fact that people are busy, and wondering how to keep the momentum going have been challenges that we've faced in a group and would love input about how to address. And thinking about what's been helpful for Health Equity Alliance, first we want to recognize the individuals and the organizations who participate in our group. Again, they're our strength. And we want to acknowledge these organizations for providing direct and in-kind support. I mentioned earlier Northwest Health Foundation and Community Health Priorities, who provided direct funding, Benton County Health Department, St. Mary's Catholic Church, and the Oregon State University Department of Public Health all provided in-kind support for the project. But we're really serious about presenting what we know, but listening to you, because we found that listening really helps. So we want to borrow and steal shamelessly and encourage you to do the same. So I think Charlie's going to come up too. We would like to know what challenges you face and what strategies have worked for you in addressing barriers to health equity in your community. Anybody brave enough to be the first one? Does this resonate with anyone who's doing similar work?
So if you're not going to speak, We've just got a couple of minutes here. We'd really like to get some feedback from you and some ideas. A couple of things that I'd like to mention is it was surprisingly easy to engage decision leaders and political leaders in our communities. As soon as we started describing public health in these terms, they got it. They understood what it was about and they started participating. And the other was the leveraging piece. You know, being able to leverage the healthy kids. Yeah.
Well, I have a question for you. When you were talking about describing health equity in a social justice framework, I'm from Austin, Texas, and it doesn't work there. You know, it's a pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of mentality and philosophy. And so do you have any thoughts about that? You know, what's another context? You know, having healthier employees?
Well, I think one of the advantages we've got in our area, we're a fairly progressive area with maybe an inflated sense of accomplishment, and being able to come in and point out the inequities. On the community health rankings report, we rank number one in Oregon. And being able to point out that doesn't mean that everyone in the community is up at that level. but that we have communities embedded and individuals in geographic areas down there. One of the things about Health Matters was that the people in the rural areas really, really responded. And I think we're going to have to move on here, yeah. But
I want to really briefly, though, point out a resource. The question was how to have these conversations about social justice and fairness in communities that might not be supportive of that. Robert Wood Johnson has a fabulous webinar and document talking about social determinants of health, which, you know, I feel like I need to read once or twice a day and, you know, kind of familiarize myself with that. So if you haven't seen that before, it's a resource really worth checking out.